I'll tell you, I am so excited about this series. This is one of the main things that a Christian better become skillful at, which we're talking about the series being led by the Holy Ghost. If you weren't here last week, I encourage you strongly to check out live stream. If you were here last week, I encourage you strongly to check out live stream and get that stuff in your heart. You can't just hear it one time. Being led by the Holy Ghost, we need to get these principles on the inside of our hearts. And today we'll encourage you to do that even more. But let's pray. Father, we are so grateful, so thankful for your precious word. The written word and the spoken word, we're thankful, Father, for your word is your will. And Lord, it is so wonderful that you did not leave us in the dark to wander, to stumble, and to struggle down here. But you gave us a GPS that will direct us to everything that we would need in life. And we're so thankful. And that GPS is the spoken word and the written word. So, Father, we reverence your word this morning. And Father, I ask that I would speak as the oracles of God. Father, I pray that I would hit bullseyes in people's hearts. And what I mean by that is that you'll speak through me something to each person that is pertinent to their life. And it'll be as if I'm talking directly to them. And Lord, that'll be a sign unto them that you love them, that you have their best interests at heart, and Lord, that this is a safe place where they can come and hear from you. And so, Father, help us this morning. Guide us, instruct us, and lead us. In Jesus' name, amen. Proverbs 3 and verse 5, this is our main text for this series. It says, trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not unto your own understanding. Notice this in verse 6. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct your paths. Amen. Praise God. Well, we saw here that in verse 6, it's an invitation from God. It's just some review, and I'm reviewing on purpose to get it down in your heart. That the Bible says that if we would acknowledge the Lord in all of our ways, he said he would direct our paths. Amen. Well, that's good news because we saw that the paths that God leads us on are righteousness, green pastures, still waters. He said, beloved, I wish above all things that thou mayest prosper and be in health. He said, my will for you is that you would prosper. So when we turn our will over to his will, we know that that's always going to be directed to blessing, still waters, peace, restoration, health, prosperity. So it does us good. Amen? Hallelujah. Praise God. We saw in verse 5 there, it says to trust in him with all our heart. We saw in Proverbs 20 and verse 27, just a quick review, it says that the spirit of man is the candle of the Lord. Well, what's a candle used for in those days? To guide you, to direct you, to when things look dark and you don't know the direction to go, the candle lights the way so you don't stumble, trip, fall, and get hurt, and do and go somewhere unnecessarily that you didn't. That you might have stumbled into in the dark. He said, the candle of the Lord is the spirit of man. Well, then we saw in John 14. Let's go to John 14. Let's see what verse I want to go to here. Let's go to John 14 in verse 16. So the Bible says that we have a spirit, and that's how God lights our path, is the spirit of man, is the candle of the Lord. Verse 16, it says, and I will pray the Father, and he will give you another comforter, praise God, that he may abide with you forever, even the spirit of truth. Now notice this, whom the world cannot receive, because it sees him not, neither knoweth him, but you know him, for he dwells with you and shall be in you. Now that verse in Proverbs 20:27 says the spirit of a man is candle of the Lord, searching all the inward parts of the belly. So it tells us the location of the spirit of man. It's on the inside of us, of course. And the Bible says here that when we receive Jesus, because the world doesn't know Jesus, so they don't know the Spirit of God, says that when we receive Jesus, we'll know him because he'll be in us. Praise God. So not only do we have our spirit, which next week we're going to look at even more, that next week's an important vital part of this message, because next week we're going to see that we're a triune being. We're a three-part being. And each part of us is endeavoring to lead us. And each part of us has a voice. And if you go with the voice of the other two parts, the two-thirds part of you, it won't lead to good things. So we need to be skillful in these things. But the Bible says we have a spirit, and the Spirit of God dwells on the inside of us. Hallelujah. Well, then go to John 16 in verse 7. Jesus said, "Nevertheless, I tell you, it is expedient, it is profitable, it is advantageous for you that I go away. Why? For if I don't go away, I will not send the Comforter." Who's the Comforter? The Spirit of Truth. He says, "When I leave, the Spirit of God will come. I will send him unto you." Where's he going? Well, the Bible says he'll be in you and he'll dwell with you and be in you. So that's where he's going. Now drop down to verse 13. It says, "How be it when he, the Spirit of Truth, is come, he will guide you into all truth." Now, didn't we say that the Lord had invited us in all our ways, acknowledge him, and he'll direct? Well, directing and guiding are the same things. So how's God going to guide and direct? The Bible says he's going to guide and direct by the Spirit of Truth. He said when the Spirit of God comes on the inside of you, one of his jobs is going to be to show you things to come, to show you where to go, to show you what to do. He says he will guide you into all truth. He will not speak of himself. Now notice this, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak. Who do you think the Holy Ghost is listening to? The Father. He's getting orders from headquarters, and he has the inside information, the Holy Ghost, and then he'll speak it to our spirit. And we see that over in Romans chapter 8 and verse 14. Romans 8. Go to Romans 8 and verse 14. Praise God. Just quick review here, and then we're going on. Romans 8. For as many as are led, well, that word direct, that word guide, that word led are all the same type of words. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. Well, remember how the Spirit leads. He comes on the inside of us, he hears something, and then he tells us what he hears. So that's how he's being led, or that's how we're being led. Now look at verse 16. It says, the Spirit himself, it should say, Jesus called him a him, not an it. The Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit. Now, if you're wondering how in the world does the Holy Ghost lead and direct us, this verse tells you. He hears from heaven what to do, what to say, and then the Bible says the Spirit of God bears witness or communicates with our spirits. Amen? So that's how it works. So God is saying, now go back to verse 14, God is saying, for as many as are led by the Spirit. So he's given you a key and an indicator that the way I'm going to direct you, now remember, the way God is directing and leading you is beside still waters, beside green pastures, restoring your soul, prosperity, health, healing, victory, joy. He says, the way I'm going to put you on that path is if you'll learn to follow the Spirit of God, I'll direct you. He says, I'm not directing you any other way. I'm not directing you in your mind. I'm not directing you from the internet. I'm not directing you by opinions of man. I'm not directing you about philosophies or what you think is best. I'm directing and leading you, if you want to get on my path, onto the blessings of God. He says, the way that they're going to be done is I'm going to direct you and lead you by doing that by my Spirit. Now remember I told you I went to the Bills games, and after the Bills games there's a mad rush to get out to the parking lot, and you know you usually cross a street to get from the Bills parking lot to where your car's parked at, and usually there's lots of traffic, there's cars coming from directions, and there's people walking on either side of the road, and usually it's not just a free-for-all, usually they'll have a police officer standing out in the middle of that road, guiding and directing, telling the cars to stop so the people can cross safely. When people listen to the director, when people listen to the leader, when people listen to the guy, everything runs smoothly. It's when he's telling the cars to stop, the people start walking, and the cars start going, that we have a collision, that we have a problem. It's the same way with Christians. God's saying, I'm endeavoring to guide you and lead you. If you'll just listen to me, I'll guide you by the still waters. I'll guide you by where you restore your soul. I'll guide you by the green pastures. I'll guide you in my will, which is that you'll prosper and be in health. But the problem lies, ladies and gentlemen, and it is a very rare thing, not because it's a hard or impossible thing, because the Bible says, for as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. Verse 16 says, the Spirit itself bears witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. It's available to all of his children. Amen. It's not a hard thing, But people have allowed it to be hard either out of ignorance, out of stubbornness, out of selfishness, out of disobedience, whatever. And they have not followed the Spirit of God. Therefore, they have not been led by the director of traffic in their life. And then things get cluttered and confused and hard and tough. God doesn't want things to be hard, cluttered, confused, and tough for you. He doesn't want you spinning your wheels over and over. You know, there are some people in the body of Christ, this is a sad state of affairs to say this, but it's the truth, that have struggled with the same problems year after year after year after year. God doesn't want you to do that. That's not how He's leading and directing. That's not peace. That's not still waters. Crisis after crisis. Conflict after conflict. Chaos after chaos. Well, why? People aren't listening to the Spirit. Well, go with me to 1 John 5 and verse 7. Praise God. Notice this before you go there. Well, you can go there. But notice it says, this is interesting. It says, they that are led by the Spirit, they are the sons of God. But then in verse 16, he says, the Spirit bears witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. So he changes the wording from children to son. He said that one enters maturity or one enters sonship and doesn't just stay a child when they learn to be directed by the Spirit of God. And ladies and gentlemen, that truly is what separates the mature Christian from the carnal Christian. The one that can hear God's voice and do what God is saying, because God always will lead you to success. God will always lead you to victory. God will always lead you to the best life possible. But most people wander around in less because they're not listening to the voice of God. So that's what this series is meant to do. Not to condemn you or to get down on you, but if you're one of these people say, man, he's talking about me. I've been struggling with the same thing for years. Well, no more after this series. This is your help. God's not beating you over the head to make you feel bad. Anytime you get a condemning thought, anytime you get a guilty thought or an accusation, that's not how God leads you. God does not lead you through guilt or condemnation. God's always encouraging you, saying, okay, yeah, that's true. You might have did it your own way for years and spinning your wheel for years, but you know what? Today's a brand new day. Tomorrow's a brand new day. Let's go forward in a new way. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise His name. So 1 John 5 and verse 7 says, there are three that bear record in heaven. The Father, the Word. Now remember the Word. The Bible says the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. The Word is Jesus. So the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost, the Bible says, three that bear record in heaven. And the Bible says that these three, you need to get this now, these three are what? One. One. What does that mean? Now, remember I said last week, I'm going to tug your light bulb chain and wake you up. Because Christians must not know. They must not be aware. That the Bible says, now remember, what did the Bible say about the Holy Ghost? He would come and dwell on the inside of you. Well, the Bible says in this verse here, from the mouth of John, from the inspiration of the Holy Ghost, that the Holy Ghost is the same as God and Jesus. What does that mean? You have God on the inside of you. But yet, most people do it. I've been guilty of this so many times. When they look for answers or when they come up against something, they're stuck. They get into the natural. They get into the mental arena and they try to figure out in their mind. They do pros and cons lists. They Google things. They call people. They get opinions from different people. When the answer the whole time was on the inside. God on the inside of you. Now I understand why one minister said we ought to be the most dominant, the most intelligent people group on the face of planet Earth. We're walking around with God inside of us. A God that the Bible says in Jeremiah 33 and verse 3, call unto me and I will answer you and show you great and mighty things. A God that's inviting you that says, acknowledge me. In all your ways, if you'll do that, I'll direct you. What is all your ways? Your financial affairs, your physical affairs, your relationship, relationships, different things with jobs, different things with decisions about houses and cars and all sorts of different things. He says, if you'll acknowledge me, he says, I'll direct your path. He says, call unto me, I'll show you. He said, I'll reward you if you'll seek me. He said, you have not because you ask not. All these verses are God is saying, please include me in your life. Amen. But what happens is people do it themselves. Hallelujah, it's true. Go with me to 2 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 20. And this is where we're going from today. 2 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 20. For all the promises. Notice they're plural. You know what that means? There's more than one. Glory to God. Aren't you glad? Protection, wisdom, finances, health. You need it. It's in there. Anything that your life would need. He says all the promises of God. All the promises of God are yes and amen. What's he saying? God's take on every single thing that he has offered you, the abundant life, the divine nature that we can receive of, the still waters, the prosperity, the health, the life free from chaos, all that stuff, he says, my answer is yes. Well then, ladies and gentlemen, let's just put two and two together here. It's not hard to figure this out. It might come across, step on your toes, and swipe you the wrong way, but it's the truth. If God says my answers are yes, then why aren't every Christian walking in those promises? Because, now this is what we're getting to today, they don't listen and do it God's way. Now understand what this is now. The Bible says they that are led by the Spirit are the sons of God. God's leading by the Spirit. The Bible says the Spirit is God. All following the Holy Ghost is just following God. Being led by the Holy Ghost, this is easy now, is just being led by what God says to do. You wouldn't believe how hard that is for most people. Amen. It's the truth. It's the truth. I'm not just talking about getting to the place where you learn to hear on the inside, because the Holy Ghost spoken to you on the inside is just the same as the Holy Ghost who already put words down on the page for you. Most people can't follow the Holy Ghost during tithes and offerings time. They don't tithe. You're not following the Holy Ghost. Well, why aren't I walking in the promises of God? You're not doing it His way. Right?
Amen.
Don't act like there and sit there and stare to God and act like, what's going on? What's going on? What's gone? Or let me take it a step further. See, in God's eyes, the written word and the spoken word are the exact same thing. We maybe think that this is easier, but in God's mind, he says, why would that be easier? I'm on the inside of you and I'm speaking to you.
Yeah.
Jesus said, the sheep know my voice. We have made it hearing from God a hard thing. We have cluttered our lives with busyness. I'm going to teach you not only about the triune being of man and which voice to listen to, but I'm also going to teach you how to make your spirit more sensitive to hear from God. This series is going to be awesome. It's going to help us in so many directions. But the problem, why don't we hear from heaven? It's not hard to read. The problem is the hard part is for people to do it. But people think the spoken word in their heart is hard to hear. It's not hard to hear when you're sensitive and walking in the realm that God's walking in. People have walked outside the realm of God and they confuse the voice of their flesh, the voice of their mind, the voice of people's opinions and stuff for God. And all these voices are there and they can't tell which one's God, which one's not God. It's not hard. And he looks at it the exact same way. So when God says tithe and you don't tithe, or God says forgive and you don't forgive, when God says use faith, he's saying you're not following my spirit. Don't expect to walk into the promises of God. Or, take it a step further, when God tells you to do something on your heart, and you don't do it, well, that's going to hinder you from walking into everything that God has. See, we have to get to a point where we're humble enough for people that say, and I've been there before, I've learned my lesson, but I've been there, where you struggle and struggle, and you go, why me? And God must not be listening, and God just must not be looking out for me, and it just doesn't work for me. Those excuses are garbage. It's not true. God is a faithful, loving, kind, merciful, no respecter of persons God who says in his word is his will, if I leave you a will that says, yes, you can come to my house and have all my hunting equipment, and I sign that, that's just as good as me saying you can have it. It will be recognized in the court that Pastor Mike said, your name's on it, you can come get it. So when God says in his word, if you'll call unto me, I'll answer you. If you'll ask me, I'll direct your paths, praise God. I'll show you things to come. He's telling you, listen, the answers are available. So to say it doesn't work for me and it never works for me and then I just keep trying, you're not doing it the right way. And we have to be humble enough to recognize it's never on his end. It's never on his end. He's already made it abundantly clear. He loves you and cares for you and has invited you to hear from him. It's always on our end. So if we are one of those people who have been spinning our wheels and the rut's getting deeper and deeper, just recognize, okay, maybe, just maybe, I've not listened to the voice of God. Because if you were, God's not leading you into struggle. God's not leading you to deeper and deeper ruts. He's trying to be the one to pull you out of them. But see, let me just even take it back a step further. If you don't even believe that, you don't even have a starting point. If you don't even believe that God, number one, is for you and loves you and wants the best life for you, you'll never endeavor to hear from him. Why hear from someone that you don't think gives a rip about you?
Right?
Doesn't all faith really begin with believing that God's good? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So why? Why aren't people walking the promise of God? They're not doing it by God's way. So let's go on. Now, what I want to show you this morning won't take us long. What I want to show you this morning, see, I could cram a lot of this stuff into message, but I don't want to do that. I want to make sure we get out what needs to get out, even if the services are shorter, I don't care. I want to show you that being led by the Spirit of God just means being led by God, but I want to show you the word that it pays. You ever heard the line, I've said it to people, it pays to obey. It does pay to obey. Now, the purpose of today's message, before we start getting into next week of learning how to follow the Holy Ghost and to get ourselves in a position to hear, you have to want it.
Yeah, that's good.
Today is the carrot dangling service. Showing you what's available to you. Getting you, hopefully this week, to draw a line in the sand or to commit to a life of following the Holy Ghost, of saying from this point on, in every area of my life, I'm going to learn this stuff, and I'm going to put it to practice in my life, and I'm going to get God's highest and best for every single area of my life. That's what this message today hopefully is going to do, is dangle that carrot out for you, that you get so excited, say, I cannot wait till next week. Now you're waking up. Is it Sunday yet? Is it Sunday yet? Pastor's teaching me how to follow God. Pastor's teaching me how to prosper. Pastor's teaching me how to walk in divine health. Pastor's teaching me how to never miss it again on buying a wrong vehicle, buying a wrong house, getting in a wrong relationship, taking the wrong job, moving in the wrong, doing it. He's showing me how to do this. Praise God. Go to Proverbs 10 and verse 22. Now, for me, it's not a carrot dangling out in front of me. It's more like a Kit Kat. I'm not trying to get the carrot. Who cares about the carrot? Bugs Bunny might want the carrot. I want the Kit Kat. Praise God. So whatever I need to dangle out in front of you this morning, you just put that on the end of that rope. Praise God. Twizzlers, pull and peel. Either one. Doesn't matter. I'm good with any of them. Praise God. Proverbs 10, cheeseburgers. Steak. Oh, yeah, I am hungry. Praise the Lord. I had to eat breakfast this morning. Praise the Lord. Proverbs 10:22. Now, notice this. The blessing of the Lord. Well, what is the Lord? Whatever encapsulates the Lord. Well, that would evidently mean how he leads you. The blessing of the Lord, or the blessing of how God does things. How does God do things? For as many as are led by my Spirit, they're the sons of God. Well, look at this. The blessing of the Lord, it maketh rich. Well, yeah, that's including finances, but that's including all areas of your life, not just money, right? I mean, there's people, there's millionaires on the earth that if someone said you can trade places with them, but you got to take everything that comes along with them, you got to take their habits, you got to take the problems in their family, you got to take the problems in their mind. I wouldn't want it. And you see, I mean, the money would be nice, yes, but if you had to just trade everything that they have. No. Richness is not just money. Richness is peace of mind.
Yeah.
Riches is your children doing good, your body doing good, you're prospering in all different areas, right? He said, the blessing of the Lord, if you'll do it my way, it'll make you rich. I remember Brother Hagin, one of the visitations he had, Jesus visited him a few times. You know, over the course of his life, 80-some years, it wasn't very many. We just read them in a book and we think that it happened every day. It didn't. It was, a lot of times they were spaced out years apart. But one of the visitations, Jesus told Brother Hagin, he said, if you'll learn to follow my spirit, I'll make you rich. Yeah. If you learn to follow my spirit, I'll make you rich. Why? Beloved, I wish above all things that thou mayest prosper. The will of God is that you would prosper in all areas of your life. Well, look what the Bible says, the blessing of the Lord. That verse right there ought to make you say, yeah, I think I want to start doing it God's way. I want to learn from him how to be led. Go with me to Psalm 32 and verse 8. Psalm 32 and verse 8. I'm going to show you next week. You know, there was a thing in the Bible about laying out a fleece. You know, they laid out a fleece. And if they woke up in the morning, if it was wet, then God was saying this. If they woke up in the morning and it was dry, God was saying this. And I still hear Christians say it to me nowadays. You know, for example, they'll try to sell something. They'll say, well, I put a for sale sign on it. I laid out my fleece. And if it sells, it was God's will. That's not how God's leading. God's not leading that way. God's not leading by what people think. God's leading by the Spirit of God. And we'll show you that because it's important to learn that, because sometimes God's leading will be into things that naturally look like, why in the world would you lead me there? Or might lead you away from something that your mind says, why can't I go that way? That's why you got to learn to follow the Holy Ghost, because the devil's voice and the Holy Ghost's voice can sound very similar, but when you learn to follow the Holy Ghost, you can separate them and hit the mark. But Psalm 32 and verse 8. Says this, it says, I will, praise God, I will, God is saying, instruct you and teach you in the way that you should go. There it is again. I'll show you, I'll instruct you, I'll teach you the way you should go. Go to Isaiah 48:17. Isaiah 48, verse 17. Praise his name. Amen. We'll be skillful in this church.
Yeah. Thank you, Lord.
Amen. Thus says the Lord, thy Redeemer. This is what the Lord's saying now. The Holy One of Israel. This is what God said to Isaiah. He said, put it down in writing. I am the Lord thy God, which teacheth you to profit and leads you by the way which you should go. Why are Christians struggling financially? It shouldn't be so. There is so much money on this earth. And God said, my will is that you would prosper. And he said, not only is it my will that you would prosper, if you'll listen to me, I'll teach you how to do it. Yeah. Well, guess what? He's the inventor of all that stuff. Right. He knows how to get you in your current situation, which might be bills stacked to the ceiling, not enough money coming in. He knows how to turn that all around. He's saying, if you'll just follow me over to here, then I'll take you to here and take you to here. And at the end of that road is going to be a big pot of prosperity. But what? People don't do it his way. They get into worry, they get into fear, they try other natural means to do it, they try to figure it out themselves, and they get themselves in a big, fat mess. Yeah. I had somebody sit down and tell me that they were doing some investments, and they did things their own way, kind of went by opinions and went by what seemed good, and they lost a lot of money in their investments. And that didn't happen too long ago. And then they just decided, you know what, I'm committing to God. I'm going to do it God's way. From now on, my money, I'm going to follow the Spirit of God, because God certainly is not going to lead me into losing money. God's not going to lead me into poverty. And so I'm going to follow God. Obeyed the Spirit. God told them to do something that naturally looked like was no possible way, that the experts were saying don't do. And they absolutely struck it big, paid off all, I'm talking within the churches, paid off all their debt. House, no house payment anymore, no car payments anymore, living free and clear. I'll tell you, that'd be a good place to be. You say, well, it'll never happen to me. Well, it won't, talking like that. But do you think that God loved those people more than he loves you? No. They just decided to listen. If you'll, whatever you'll take your situation And you say, I'm committing it to God. I'm going to do whatever he says. Now, be careful when you say that, though. Because we're also going to show you in this message how God leads you to prosper financially. And there will be times God will speak something on your heart for you to do that will blow your mind and make your eyeballs go like this. And the sweat start coming down. But see, and what am I talking about? God will tell you to sow it to somebody. God will tell you to give that to the building fund. God will say, sow that to the church. Give that to that ministry. Give that to that minister. Give that to that Christian. And he'll tell you something. And what God sees, he understands the sowing leads to reaping. All you see is the sowing and the sweat that the sowing brings. And the nerves that the sowing brings. And a lot of people will never endeavor to hear from God. If you're going to say, Father, financially, I'll do whatever you want me to do. Be careful. If you don't mean it, don't say it, because he'll say, okay, I know how to get you to prosperity. But you got to go through the door of obedience. You got to go through the door of listening to me. And most people get so tripped up and wigged out and freaked out and scared by what he says to do, they never do it. And it goes undone. But he said, I'll teach you how to profit. He said, you want to know how to profit? You don't have to go through this life poor. You don't have to go through this life struggling. Yeah, it's always been that way, but you never always did it God's way either. Amen. Amen. You ought to be happier about it than you are. Everyone ought to be smiling at me right now because I'm telling you how to get a good life. Praise God.
Praise the Lord.
He said, I'll teach you how to profit. Now, go with me to 1 Kings 17. I'm going to show you an example in the Old Testament, an example in the New Testament of people. Now, remember, what is obeying the Holy Ghost? Just obeying the voice of God. That's all it is. 1 Kings 17. I'm going to show you how it profits people, how it benefits people. 1 Kings 17. You know, I was thinking, I've told the story. Spirit of God brought this to my attention as I was meditating on this. Remember the story that I told you, how I was believing God for a property in the Midwest that I could go and hunt and not have to pay big money every time I go to do it. And so I released my faith for that. And remember God told me to go visit a little Amish baby in the hospital, and I did, and it impressed them so much, and I developed a friendship that they ended up inviting me to go. Well, he even took me back a step further. The only reason I ever stepped foot in that Amish archery shop was I was in the market for a new bow. I had had one that was very old, and I was in a market for a new one. I'd saved up some money for it. Well, there's a shop that I normally do all my business to buy my broadheads and my arrows, and it's just down the road from me a little ways, about a 15-minute drive the other side of New York and Pennsylvania, and I always go there. I like that store. I like the people that work there. I'm friends with some of them, and I do all my business there, and I had just thought that I was going to go down there and get that and get my bow from them. They sold the same bow that I got at the one in Panama from the Amish gentleman, and I remember getting ready to go there to buy that bow, and I had something on the inside of me that said, call so-and-so and ask them about this archery shop. Well, again, I'd never been there, never done business there, had every intention in the world of going to the one in Pennsylvania, but the Spirit of God prompted me to call someone. I thought it was weird, so I called them. They said, oh yeah, you got to go check this out. So I said, well, I'll go and check it out. There's a reason that was there. And when I walked into that archery shop, and the way they have it set up, and as excellent as they are in their knowledge, within 5 minutes, I had said to myself, I will never go anywhere else to buy archery equipment. And this was before I was friends with them or anything, knew anything about them, said I'll never go anywhere else. Well, what's neat, what I'm saying is the end result was me getting on a lease for free properties that you don't see deer like that around here in the quantity, in the occurrence that you see them there, that I get to hunt that whenever I want with them. Another really kind of a weird dream of mine was always to have a backstage pass to the Amish community. You say, what's wrong with you? I don't know, but I've always wanted to have Amish friends and stuff. Well, now I'm spending the night at their houses and eating lunch and dinner with them and just having a good old time. I just really enjoy it. And I think what it is something about me is still kind of like got that frontier mentality where I think it'd kind of be fun to be out there with no electricity and stuff and then all that. But anyways, I think maybe there's a pull to that, but they're great people too. So, but the Lord was directing me that the end result was that. But notice, to get to the end result, God had to direct me. See, the why it's important to be led by the Spirit is God sees it from a top view. We see it like we're in the forest and the trees are in front of us and we can't see the way out. It's kind of like if you were in a a big cornfield, dropped in the middle of a cornfield, and you had to get to a certain place, you wouldn't know which direction to go to. Because all you can see. But if you were looking at it from a top of a tree, or if you're looking at it from an airplane, you would know, you'd be able to relay to yourself on a walkie-talkie or something, hey, or text yourself, hey, just go start walking this way. And if you started walking the wrong way, you could say, no, turn around, go the other way. And you could get out of that thing. Well, that's the way God is. He sees how to get you to the end, but sometimes, to get you to the end, let's say you're going through that cornfield and you need to get over to here, but say in the middle of where you are to where that cornfield is, let's say there's a big flooded part of that cornfield and you can't get through that. So in your own mind, you think, just go straight to get to the end. That's where the end is. But see, God would say, oh, no, I know that. I need you to go over here first, and then when you go over here, then go up here, then cut over, and then get out. See? And that's what God would say with the archery shop. You want to get a property in the Midwest? There's ways you can do that that might cost you, but if you'll do it my way, it might mean you have to listen to me to go to a different archery shop. It might mean you might have to drive to Buffalo and pray for a family. It might mean some things, but the end result, I can connect the dots and get you to where you need to go. But most people don't listen. They don't listen to the voice of God. 1 Kings 17, let me show you what I mean. And Elijah, verse 1, the Tishbite, hallelujah, who was the inhabitants of Gilead, said unto Ahab, now Ahab was the king. Now notice this, it says, as the Lord God of Israel lives, before I stand, there shall not be dew nor rain these years, but according to my word. And the word of the Lord came unto him, saying, now here's what you have to understand, Elijah, the prophet, had prophesied that there would be a drought in the land for 3 years, and there was. Well, that did not make the king very happy because he didn't understand that the prophet only speaks as God speaks, but he was blaming Elijah. He was blaming Elijah, and so the king had sent out everybody. He went to neighboring lands and talked to neighboring countries and said, now, give me your word. If this prophet comes here, you're going to turn him over to us. He's prophesied this drought. You know, drought's not a good thing. He prophesied a drought. It came to pass, and they struggled for those years of drought. And so for 3 years, they searched for him, and they looked for him and looked for him and looked for him. And for 3 years, Elijah was supernaturally kept and hid by God. They were sending army search parties out to find him. They couldn't find him, and this is what the Lord said. So now again, Elijah's life is on the line. Ahab wants to kill this prophet. He thinks the prophet is the reason for the curse. So he wants to take him out. Well, his life is in jeopardy. Do you think God wants Elijah to be killed? Do you think God wants you poor? Do you think God wants you broke? Do you think God wants you sick? Do you think God wants you scared? Do you think God wants you to struggle? No. But if you're in the middle of that maze, that cornfield that you can't find your way out, if you listen to God, who's got the upper view, he'll say, you want out of that? Do this, then do this, then do this, then do this, and you're in your exit. Praise God. So Elijah here, the end result is I'm going to die. How do I keep my life? Well, one man cannot escape a whole army. One man with a search party, I mean, it's very rare that people can, when people are really, you know, they get the police and everybody after them, it's really rare for someone to hide nowadays. And it said this, the word of the Lord came on him saying, get thee hence and turn. See, God's turning some things. He's saying, you got to go a different direction, Elijah. Turn eastward and hide thyself by the brook Cherith that is before the Jordan. Now, evidently, that was a hiding spot that he would never be found in. But evidently, Elijah didn't know that. Do you think Elijah was trying to hide himself? Absolutely. But see, when God plays hide and seek, he picks better spots. He picks better spots. And so evidently, Elijah didn't think, go down by the brook Cherith and hide themselves. And God said, no. Go down here and hide by the brook Jordan. And it shall be. So now what would have happened if Elijah didn't hear the voice of God, but then didn't obey the voice of God? He'd have been found. He'd have been killed, but he went. And it shall be that you shall drink of the brook, and I have commanded the ravens to feed you there. What's God saying? When you learn, see, you want the supernatural to flow in your life? Follow God's voice. Following the Spirit of God will lead to supernatural manifestations in your life. Number one, he was supernaturally kept. Number two, he was supernaturally fed. The birds brought him food. Praise God. Now, what would he have done if he just said, Lord, I have never seen a bird deliver a meal. I think, Lord, you have missed it and you are off your rocker, Father. I'm going to hide over here and I'm going to provide for myself the way I know how. It would have been trouble. That's right. But he trusted the Lord. with all his heart. He leaned not on his own understanding. In all his ways he acknowledged and obeyed, and the Lord directed his paths. Praise God. So he went down there. So he went, verse 5, and did according unto the word of the Lord. Oh my gosh, there's your answer. Going and doing in all affairs of life according to the word of the Lord. He's got an answer for every single thing you're facing. Praise God. For he went and dwelt by the brook Cherith that is before the Jordan, and the ravens brought him bread and flesh in the morning and bread and flesh in the evening, and he drank of the brook. Praise God. And it came to pass after a while that the brook dried up because there had been no rain in the land. Now here we go. Sometimes natural avenues can dry up. But see, when you don't have your faith in a natural avenue, it doesn't matter.
That's right. Amen.
Well, that income dried up, or that person that was blessing me and being good to me has now said no more. So what? Yeah. They're not your supply. Your job's not your supply. Well, I didn't get that Christmas bonus or that raise. So what? That's not your supply. God is your supply. So when the brook dried up and he didn't have a way to drink anymore, he didn't stress. He just waited for the next instruction by God. And it said in verse 8, and the word of the Lord came to him. Of course it did. Why? God wouldn't want him struggling.
Right.
Now Elijah could have gone and done what he thought himself, but he waited to hear from God. And the word of the Lord came to him and said, arise, get to Zarephath, which belongs to Zidon, and dwell there. Behold, I have commanded a widow woman to sustain thee. So he's saying, now your next hiding place is down here, and when you go down there, there's going to be a woman there. She's going to provide for you.
Yeah.
Amen.
Praise God.
Hallelujah. What was it? Somebody in a bind. Somebody in a tough situation. Somebody in the middle of a 100-acre cornfield not knowing which way to get out.
Right.
But they let God direct them and guide them, and God said, go here, go there, go there. Do the same thing for you. He'll do more for you. This isn't even for his child. This is for his servant Elijah. Praise God. Go to John chapter 2. See, what today is, again, we're dangling whatever out in front of you. We'll get you excited to come back and listen. Well, to first endeavor in your life to say, you know what? Maybe some areas of your life are good and some aren't. Well, God doesn't want that be that way. He wants all areas of your life to be good, prospering in every way. You know, if you speak financially, is an easy one to look at because it's practical, you know, hands-on. If your business, if your finances have been struggling year after year after year, it shouldn't be so. It shouldn't be so. He said, I'll teach you how to profit. What am I saying? There's hope for you. God has the answer if you're willing to listen to him. Praise God. John chapter 2 and verse 1 says, the third day there was a marriage in Cana of Galilee, and the mother of Jesus was there, and both Jesus was called. Remember, following God, just obeying his voice. And Jesus was called and his disciples to the marriage, and they wanted wine. The mother of Jesus said to him, they have no wine. Verse 4, Jesus said, woman, what do I have to do with you? My hour is not yet come. Now she, Mary, was sensitive to the things of God. She had asked Jesus to do something about this issue here. And Jesus said, listen, my time's not come yet. But she must have known it was close for her to go to him, because he said, my hour has not yet come. That means it was coming soon, praise God. And she knew something. Now notice what Mary said in verse 5, something about being spiritually perceptive. His mother said unto the servants, I love this, whatever he says unto you, do it. Hey, there's your answer again, ladies and gentlemen. You don't understand how difficult I've made it in my own life, and Christians have made it in their own life. Whatever he says, do it. Written word, spoken word, whatever, just do it.
Amen.
Why? Because he's trying to lead you beside still waters, green pastures, health and prosperity and victory and joy. He's trying to direct you. Amen. Whatever he says, do it.
Praise God.
And there were set there 6 water pots of stone. Now, if you study this out, these were humongous water pots, heavy. Not just milk jugs. I'm talking where you have to get multiple people on these things. After the manner of the purifying of Jews, containing 2 or 3 firkins apiece, Jesus said unto them, fill the water pots with water. Now let me ask you a question. Was filling a water pot with water easier nowadays or back then? Nowadays. Just get the hose and spray it in. But how do they got to get water? They got to pick that thing up. They got to walk down to the well or wherever the water is. They got to get that water out of the well. Then they got to carry the heavy thing all the way back. And they're looking for wine. And Jesus said, fill them up with water. Now, remember, they must have listened to Mary. Because Mary said, whatever he does. What's that mean? No matter how crazy it sounds, no matter how against your flesh it seems, whatever he says, do it. Whatever. What do you mean, Lord, go down by the brook and the birds are going to feed me? You're crazy. No, okay, you said it, I'll do it.
Yeah. Amen.
Moses slapped that rod on the water. Lord, don't you understand? There's an army bearing down my neck trying to get me. What in the world is slapping a stick on a water going to do? Whatever he says, do it. So he went bam and the water went bam.
Yeah.
And they went across. Praise God. Whatever he says, do it. That's why I told you, when we get into the financial one, you just wait. He might tell you something. Sometimes say, Lord, you're believing God. You're believing God for money, and he's telling you to sow money.
Yeah.
And you're saying, Lord, don't you know I'm the one that needs money? He's saying, I know.
Yeah.
That's why I'm telling you to give some. Because
yeah.
Then you can walk into your harvest. Whatever he says to you, do it.
Amen.
Amen. Taps you on the shoulder. You know, pastor could use this in the church. But Lord, I'm not comfortable doing it. Whatever he says to you, do it. Not whatever pastor says, whatever he says. Amen. So we see here, not a normal thing. What do you mean go get water? This is inconvenient. Jesus, you go get the stinking water if you want water so bad. You go get it. Whatever he says, she told him, whatever he says, do it. Jesus said unto them, fill the water pots with water. And they filled them to the brim. They did exactly what he says. He said to them, draw out now. Bear unto the governor of the feast. Now remember, the governor of the feast wanted wine.
Yeah.
So he's saying, take your whatever you're drawing it out with and draw it out in front of the governor. Well, they're putting themselves at risk of looking like a fool.
Sure.
Here you go, Gov. That's water, you idiot. Right?
Yeah.
They're serving him. Risking their jobs, risking their positions, risking who knows what they would have done, what kind of punishment, of embarrassing. Jesus said, nope, draw out of the thing now. The pots that you just put water in, go in front of the governor and draw them out. Whatsoever he says to you, do it. What is being led by the Spirit? Just listening to the voice of God. And they bear it. When the ruler of the feast had tasted the water that was made wine, and knew not where it was, but the servants who drew the water knew. The governor of the feast called the bridegroom and said unto them, every man in the beginning does set forth good wine. And when men have well drunk, then that which is worse. But you have kept the good wine until now. Verse 11, this beginning of miracles. Why were miracles in the supernatural possible? Because a human obeyed.
Yeah, that's good.
Miracles, signs, and wonders, ladies and gentlemen, do not automatically happen without the people's cooperation. You want a miracle in your finances? Stop begging God to do something and start listening. He'll show you how to get to a miracle.
Yeah.
So I want a miracle in my family. I want a miracle in my job. I want a miracle in my life. Stop begging God to do it and start listening for God to show you how to do it.
Amen.
Same way when we're believing God for miracle signs and wonders here. I've told you, it ain't going to just miraculously happen just because pastor's on board and pastor's been prophesied over and God's on board. No, it takes the people in their private time at home crying out, send them, Lord. Send the rain. Signs, wonders, and miracles. Signs, wonders. Hungering.
Amen.
Miracles and signs and wonders happen when people obey the voice of God.
That's right.
Amen?
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. So next week, we're closing here. We're done now, actually. Next week, we're going to look at how to begin the process of starting to follow the voice of God. Because all that Elijah did was obey God's voice. All that those servants did was obeyed God's voice. The same voice that was speaking to Elijah, the same voice that was speaking to Moses, the same voice that was speaking to Jonah, the same voice that was speaking to Abraham, the same voice that was speaking to these guys in the New Testament, the same voice that led people from bad to good, from the normal to the supernatural, is the same voice that's living on the inside of you. The only thing we have to do is become skillful in learning how to follow it, and then we can start to receive of it. Amen? Let's pray. Thank you, Jesus, for the word this morning. Oh, we're so grateful. Father, we're on a good track here. We're on a good path and a good plan. Oh, you have so many good things waiting for us at the end of that maze, Lord. And you didn't make the maze confusing. Sometimes we do it. Sometimes the enemy does it. But you're the answer to it, Father. You're the direction. You're the guide. Not only is the Word the spiritual GPS, but the voice of God, which is the Word on paper, is our spiritual GPS as well. So, Father, we endeavor from this point forward to make up our minds, draw a line in the sand, to commit, to make a declaration in our own lives that the Spirit life is the life we're going for. To be led by the Spirit, not by our flesh, not by our family, not by our opinions, not by our philosophies, not by the internet, not by the news media, not by what so-called experts would say. But, Father, we're going to be led by the Holy Ghost. And, Father, we see in the Word there's much profit to being led by the Spirit. There's much to gain to being led by the Spirit, but there's much to be lost for those that won't obey the Holy Ghost. So, Father, we thank you for the opportunity to hear your Word, to set us up in a position to receive. We give you glory and praise. With heads bowed and eyes closed, nobody looking around, please. I know everybody in this service right now has given their heart to Jesus. But what I don't know is that if there's somebody listening by live stream or in the future that has never given their heart to Jesus. So if you're listening by live stream, I know everybody in here has dedicated their life. Now, you say, Pastor, I'd really like to pray that again. You don't need to pray that again. If you've done something wrong, or if you've stepped away from God, or if you've missed it, He didn't leave you. He's not beating you up over the head. He's just saying, repent to me. I'll forgive you, wash you clean, and go forward. He didn't leave you, though, so you don't have to pray this again. But with heads bowed and eyes closed in here, if you're listening on live stream right now or someday in the future, and you can say, I've never received Jesus as my Lord and Savior. Well, He's the ticket to heaven. The Bible says all you have to do is believe He died and rose again and then ask Him into your heart. So if you're here, or if you're listening, I should say, and you want to receive Jesus, just simply do this. Just simply ask Him. Say, Lord, I believe that you died on the cross for me and that you rose again, and I ask you to come into my heart. Thank you for saving me. Now, the Bible says if you do that, you're in. You've been accepted by God. And the next step is to find a Bible-teaching church. Why? Not so that you can go to heaven, not so you can get God to love you, but so that you can learn of all that He has for you, to receive things from Him. Yes, Lord, I'll make sure to say that. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, let me just give you, of course, I'm pro-church attendance. When it comes to being born again, that's not what gets you in. But the Lord just, as I was saying that, you know, You can live life and have a measure of education outside of school, but you cannot learn what people that have gone to schooling and go get a college degree, there's things that you just won't be able to learn as much as those people who had sat under all that teaching. It's the same with church. You can go to heaven. But think of the stuff we're learning in the last 2 weeks. What about the people that say, I don't need a pastor. I don't need a church. Messages like these last 2 weeks show us the value of the local church. Show us the value of a shepherd in our lives to teach us. And so let's make sure that we're always honoring that gift that God's given us. I don't mean me. I just mean the idea of the church and the message of the Word. I mean, what would we do without it? We could go to heaven, but man, we wouldn't be able to navigate through life as successfully without the teaching and the preaching of the Word. Father, we love you. Let's thank Him. Thank Him for the meal you received today. Let's just thank Him and worship Him and glorify Him and honor Him. Hallelujah. If you're going through anything in your body right now and you'd like hands laid on you, come forward. The Bible says lay hands on the sick and they'll recover. If there's anybody that has anything in their body that they'd like hands laid on, just come up here and line up right next to one another. Anybody else that would like hands laid on them? The Bible says, now I'm not the healer, but God is the healer. And so the Bible says you lay hands on the sick, they'll recover. So your job is, if you come up here, that when I lay hands on you, to believe the power of God goes into your life. And from this point on, you say, Father, I thank you. I receive my healing. Just go ahead and line up next to each other, shoulder to shoulder here. That'd be great. Praise God. Now everybody look at me here. It's important. The Bible says when you pray, believe that you receive. Well, when we lay hands on you, you're hooking your faith up with my faith, and we're believing that we're receiving. Praise God. And so here's what we're going to do. I'm going to lay hands on you. At that moment, you are to believe that the power of God goes in you, and you believe you receive. And you just walk out of here saying, Father, I believe I receive. I would even write it down in a notebook. What is today, the 11th? That on December 11th, around 11:30 in the morning, Pastor Mike laid hands on me. I hooked my faith up with that, and I received my healing. Father, in the name of Jesus, from the top of her head to the bottom of her feet, we healed in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. We thank you, Lord. from the top of her head to the bottom of her feet, be healed in the name of Jesus. From the top of her head to the bottom of her feet, be healed and whole in the name of Jesus, head to toe. Father, in the name of Jesus, from the top of this man's head to the bottom of his feet, we command all symptoms, all disease, all the crooked places to be made straight in Jesus' name. Be healed, sir. In Jesus' name. Amen. Hallelujah. Father, we love you. Let's thank him. Let's just thank him right now. Father, we bless you. We love you. We love you so much. We love you so much. We glorify you and magnify you. Hallelujah. We praise your name. We praise your name. We honor and bless you and magnify you. We glorify you, Master. You're the healer. You're the life giver. You're the provider. We're just the messengers, Father. You're the vine. We're the branch, Father. We love you. Anything else, Father, that you would like to do this morning? We don't want to rush things, Father, but we also don't want to attempt to make things happen either. Hallelujah. 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 As I'm up here, I get the Spirit bears witness with my spirit that many of the things that people are going through that have been extended year after year, if you'll put this to practice in your life, God will give you the direction out of those things. But it's going to, you know, in this series you'll learn this, but it's going to take you recognizing that, being willing to put yourself in a position to hear what he says, but then hearing's only half of it. And then actually being willing to step out and do whatever he says to do. If you want those things changed, praise God, they'll be changed. Amen? Amen? Jesus, we love you. We're so thankful, so grateful. We praise you and bless you in Jesus' name. Amen. Don't forget Wednesday night, 6:30. Don't forget we have goodies over in the old sanctuary. Have a good rest of the week. You are dismissed. Praise God. Thank you, sir.